Praise be unto our God. I'm going to ask you to stand for just a minute, and I'm sorry, I want to do this. You know, we have a situation going on in Ukraine and Russia and all that stuff, people. Yes. Not good, not good. But I tell you what, we trust our God. Yes. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters that are in that country. That they show the pictures of them fleeing. And I saw this morning, they said 200 and something people have died already. And we know it's not a good situation. And men, when I say men, I mean mankind, do horrible things. Because in the heart of men is evil. Unless God steps in. Unless God is in their hearts and lives and God transforms. We need God to do something with that country. Look, you know, I've read yesterday just a little synopsis type thing. They're not letting any men out of that country. And the president of Ukraine, if you want to say it that way, is arming all men and to do whatever it takes to defend their country. And there's bombings going on. There's stuff going on. We can't hide in the sand, people. But I tell you what, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he will come and he will heal our land. He can heal that land. And you know, I'm not saying it's the best country in all the world, but something's not right. Something's not right. Let's stand and let's lift up our hands and ask God to move upon that situation, people. Oh, we need a mighty move. Father, we need a mighty move, Lord. We are your people. And Lord God, we into your hands, we place this country, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, send them help, Lord God. Send them help, Lord God, from you somehow, some way, Lord God, that they can defend their country and do what is right. And it can stay in their hands, Lord God. Lord, we pray, help our brothers and sisters. Encourage them. Be with them. Miraculously supply for them, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And we bind every evil, foul spirit that'll try to destroy that nation. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, we pray for the ones that are trying to destroy that nation, that I'll come against them in Jesus' name. I'll come against those forces of evil, Lord God. And Lord, we bind it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray destruction upon them. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God Almighty. Into your hands we place it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Oh, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a God we serve, people. What a God we serve. You might say, well, will that help? But let me tell you this. If something was happening here, I'd want them to pray for us. We got to pray. And I would ask you to continue to pray for them. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. And then pray for our country. We need a move of God. Like we've never seen before. We need a move from the top, the president, to the bottom. We need a mighty move, you know, of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's always hope. Yes. There's always hope. You might say, well, man, it looks bad. There's always hope. Yes. When any believer is still alive, there's always hope. Always hope, people. Always hope. Amen, amen. Well, let's get in the Word. Amen. Praise, yes, He is. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before you. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this Word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you would, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Amen. You know, Marie, I just want to tell you something, Marie. As you were down here, and I that's why I'm fumbling, because I want to make sure I do it right. I just felt the Spirit of the Lord saying that the spirit of prophecy, and I know you've worked in that area, is going to be greater than ever before. That God is going to use you mightily. Don't resist, okay? Don't resist. I don't know what's happening, but you know, just like, was it Ananias in the temple and stuff, praying and seeking God? But the spirit of prophecy for you, for people or for the church or for whatever it is, just let God use you, okay? And I know you have a heart for the Lord. Everybody has a heart for the Lord. But, you know, God chooses what he wants to do. Okay? God chooses. So just let God use you. And I'm telling you, you're going to feel the presence of the Lord like you've never felt before. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in Genesis chapter 3, in Scripture, there are 7,487 promises from God to mankind. We know the whole book is a great revelation of our God. But specifically, there are promises that God has given to either an individual, could be certain churches that he mentions. It could be towards certain countries, you know, cities, whatever. But in Scripture, there are 7,487 promises that God, through the Scripture, has given to the body of believers somehow, some way. It's a covenant that has been made between God and his people. And God is saying this, that he will do whatever it takes to keep those promises. But we as individuals, or we as a local body of believers, or we as a country, or we as individuals, have to keep our end of the bargain too. In before we read Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, we know, were the first two people, as far as we know of, as far as with this, that covenant there in Genesis. We know something was here before, and God, you know, all that stuff. But Adam and Eve was the first two human beings made in the image of God. That's why God says we are all made in the image of God. That's why the enemy, when he looks at us, what does he see? He sees God. And he hates God with all of his heart, even though he was created by God. Okay, but we were created, he wasn't created in the image of God, he was just a created being by God, but we were made in the image of God. No, nothing else in this world has been made in the image of God. Not your dog, not your cat, not your pig, not your cattle, not any of those things, but only human beings. But we know that they made some bad choices, and Eve was deceived by the snake, and destruction came upon them. But God still made a promise to Adam and Eve, because he knew beforehand what would happen. You know, we know our God is a God that knows the past, the present, and he knows the future. He knows. He knows your life, who you were before. He knows who you are today, and he knows who you will be in the future. And he constantly works in us because he loves us and cares about every aspect of our lives. He loves you and I, and he wants the best for all of us. And they failed God, both of them did. Deceived by the snake and disobedience unto God. But look at Chapter 3, verse 15. It said this. And it says, I will put enmity, or it could be animosity, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. even when deception came, or Adam and Eve failed God, and evil came into the world, God still made a promise to humanity, to Adam and Eve, that the Savior would come. That the Savior would come. A promise that was given thousands of years before he eventually came and died upon the cross. You see, that's how much our God loves us and cares about us. That even from the beginning of time, as far as time in humanity, that God still made a way where there seemed to be no way. And he said, I will send. He didn't say, if you do this, then I'll send him. No, God said, I'll send him no matter what happens, because you as a human being need a Savior, need somebody or someone to take your sin and to forgive you of the things that we have done wrong. There are unconditional and conditional promises. You might say, oh, okay. One of the unconditional promises I'll explain to you is like when the Savior would come. No matter what, he was coming. It didn't depend on humanity at all. Now, God used humanity because he used the woman. Because she was deceived, he used her in bringing the Savior of the world to destroy the works of the enemy, and to bring the Savior into the world that he could live and die upon the cross and have the perfect blood that was sinless to be paid for all of our sins of the past, present, and the future if we accept it. That's unconditional. That means we cannot do anything for it. Another unconditional is when God promised to never destroy man. Somebody answer their phone. Somebody's calling. Just hope it's not the IRS. Jesus is calling his people. No, don't worry about it. You just said don't worry about it. No, that happens. Amen. Okay, so the IRS is not involved. Amen. Look, you don't know how people get scared when you know you have certified. Susan knows. And you have to go. And look, I see it. Louisiana Department of Revenue. Or you see IRS, Internal Revenue Service. And you're going, oh. It's really, probably 95% of the time, it's not good news. And you go to them, and they have to sign it, whatever, and you have to give it to them, whatever. And their face just, you know, and I always just say, hey, I have a certified for you, and I'm sorry. It's from the IRS or Louisiana Department of Revenue. You know, you kind of, okay. And while they take it, it's like, okay, you know. But, you know, God is a good God, and, you know, no matter what goes on, we still serve him. But we have unconditional and conditional promises from God. In Genesis 9:11, let's go there, just a few pages down. Unconditional. Look at this. Verse 11. It says, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. That's unconditional. That means it does not matter what we do. I mean, you know, that he will never flood the earth ever again or allow that to happen. Never. So when they talk about the sea levels rising 1/8 of a whatever percent in 300 years, don't worry about it. It's not going to take over the whole earth because God would not allow it. His promise, as the rainbow is the promise unto us, that he will never flood the whole earth again. We can rest assured that it will never happen. Now, you might say, well, aren't there certain floods? Yes, there is. Here or there and all that stuff. But he will never allow it to do that. That's a covenant that he has made with himself and with humanity, that it will never happen again. That's a promise he's given unto us. That's a promise. And we can rest assured. We can look outside and it's raining cats and dogs, and we can know that it will not flood. He will not allow that to happen because of the scripture, because of what he has said unto us, because of what his promise is unto us. We can rest assured that he will take care of all those things. That's the kind of God we serve, that keeps his promises unto his people no matter what. Unconditional. Now, we have some conditional promises, you know, that if we do this, this will happen. I want you to turn to John 14:14, please. Page 1880. Page 1880. Oh, hallelujah, people. 1880. This is, I mean, there's, like I said, there's over 7,000 promises. This is just one of them. John 14:14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, people. My God, people. Let me read it again and please shout. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You and I, this is a conditional promise. The condition is, as the scripture, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, it has to be according to God's will. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, like some people are foolish and they pray all kinds of things that just, okay, you kind of, but I'm, you know, hey, God wants to bless his people. God wants to move. God wants. God says, ask of me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Ask of me. God's wanting us to have that faith to believe for whatever it is. You know, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I need another vehicle. Well, ask the Lord for it. You know, like I heard, you know, some preachers say this. There's a house in the cross. There's a car in the cross. There's health in the cross. You know what you're doing? You and I are putting our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And when we put ourselves in his will, because it says for us to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. When we delight in him and we pursue him with everything within us, the power of Almighty God will be with us, and we will do and ask of him what God puts in our hearts. Hallelujah. If you shall ask anything in my name, comma, let's stop there. If me, will ask anything in his name, the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, Jehovah our God. That's a promise given that is conditional. It takes faith for us to believe. It takes faith for us to announce it. It takes faith for us to go to God for it. But when we do that, the power of Almighty God is with us. He's wanting us to ask him for whatever it is. For whatever it is that he puts upon our hearts to do. He wants us to ask him for the miraculous so that we can testify what God can do. What God can do. What God can do. When we know we can't get over the mountain and the only way we can get over is something miraculous happens, and for some reason that next day or whenever we get over that mountain, we can testify it's because of God and what he's done in us and what he can do in us. Yes. You see, we need a move of God like we've never seen before. The power of Almighty God, asking God to move. I know there are many things upon your hearts and lives just like mine. For my family, for this church, petitioning God for things. And I often just quote that scripture and say, Lord, you said, whatever we shall ask in your name, believing, we shall have it. And Lord God, I have to do my part. You see, you have to do your part. It's a conditional promise. It's a promise to all believers. It's one of the 7,487 promises that we have. It's one of them. And you know what? As a Christian, we can sit and we can pray and we can quote that scripture back to God to remind him of his word. Not that he's forgotten, but it's for us to know it and to build that faith to believe what God wants to do in that situation. We cannot lay back. We cannot lay back. We cannot lay back. We got to pursue our God with everything within us. And letting God move like he wants to move. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can do it. Let me tell you, you can do it. You can pursue God. And you might say, pursuing him in knowledge. Getting to know that word. Pursuing him in prayer. Pursuing him in praying for people. Pursuing him in knowing him. In knowing him face to face. You know what the Christian world wants? Most of the Christian world is to know God just for one simple reason. To get from God. And there's nothing wrong. God said he wants to bless. But that shouldn't be the first priority. That should not be the first priority. And let me tell you, I believe God wants to bless his church. God wants to bless his people. But let me tell you, that's not the first thing first. The first thing first is to praise him, to honor him, to know him face to face. And let me tell you, you know, as you get to know your God, let me tell you, he will pour out the blessings. He will pour out the Spirit. He will pour out the anointing. The promises of God are yes and what? Amen. Which means they're yes, God says. Yes, and amen means what? So be it. Wow. John 14:14. Anything in my name. What are you believing God for, people? Come on. Look, don't let the devil destroy you in what you believe in God for. Don't let him destroy your faith. Believe God. Believe God. Say, Lord, maybe I messed up and gone off course a little bit. Lord, thank you for bringing me back on course. He's a God that can bring us back on that course in an instant. That's the kind of God we serve. Keep your faith in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And don't get off course. Just keep on pursuing him. Doesn't matter how we feel. No matter what we go through. But let me tell you, we keep our faith in him. We trust in him that he is in control of all things no matter what. We don't live by what we see here. We live by faith in what we see from here. The power of Almighty God. We got to do our part. We got to do A to get B. We got to do A. And there's many other things, people. But we have to do A. If you shall ask anything in my name. It didn't say he might. That's some strong words. I will do it. Wow. We have an assurance with our God. It's better than life insurance. It's better than car insurance. It's better than house insurance. Any insurance. Not that you shouldn't have insurance. Please don't. I have insurance. Just to let you know. But God is better. What he said, he will do. What are you believing God for? What has the devil put in your mind and heart or whatever and had made you go maybe a little astray and not believe in what you once believed as far as for certain things? Ask God to stir your spirit again. Ask God to put that in your heart again. Ask God to help you to get back on track. Ask God to move upon that situation. Let me tell you this. The devil's good at getting the church sidetracked. You know the thing that God said for us to do before Jesus left? You know what he said? The last great sermon was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he said to do. And preaching is just heralding forth. Preaching to go to the whole world and just on your job, when God opens the door to step in and to tell them about Jesus, when you're at, you know, at wherever, a restaurant, whatever, and God's, you just have an, you just feel something, my God, okay, Lord, that God would, and you open the door and try to share with the waitress or whatever it is. You see, God says to preach the gospel. It's not a social group, the church. The church is a live organism. It's alive because our God is alive. And we serve a God that is alive, that is seated next to the Father. My God, Jesus Christ has completed his work upon the earth. And now we got to continue that work to get it done. Get it done before he comes back by the Spirit of Almighty God. We're not here alone. We're here because of the Spirit of God, and we can do and accomplish what God has put upon our hearts because of who he is and what he can do. He's the great what? Comforter. Amen. He comforts his people. How many of us need a little comfort every once in a while? It's true. A little picking up every once in a while, huh? A little getting back on track every once in a while. God said, come on, boy. Come on, girl. Let's get this done. Come on, man. Our God is a great God. He's a great God. Unconditional. Or conditional, this one is. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask God to bring alive the things that he wants to do in your heart and life again. He always keeps his promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20, as I said, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Praise God Almighty. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6, please. Page 1110. Amen. Talking about Isaiah a little bit. Amen. Look at this. Starting with the first verse, people. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know how Uzziah died? He was the king. And he tried to go into the holy place, and only the priests that were called by God, that had been set apart for that service, could go and do that. And he said, I'm going to go in. I'm the king. That's pride and arrogance. I can do what I want. Let me tell you this. God is fed up with that stuff. God is tired of getting a man or a woman getting glory and he's not getting it. Those times are over with. That's over with. But he went in there, and look, the priest came in, and thank you, Lord, the priest came in and said, you can't do that. And they stopped him, and he got mad and angry. And when they stopped him, look what God did to him. Leprosy came over him. Now, this is ironic. This is something. Listen to this. Leprosy came over him, and you know where the leprosy came? In his forehead. God is saying, you cannot do. We got to follow what God says. And then he died of leprosy because he was disobedient unto God. Okay, let's go on. Verse 2, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and the twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4, and the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you imagine? The pillars moved because of the glory of God. Verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Here we see Isaiah. He saw the glory of the Lord and the power of God, people. Look, the church, the body of Christ, the whole body, they need to see the glory of God. We wouldn't have the stuff going on if the glory of God was welcomed into places and welcomed into the church. We wouldn't see the horrible things that are happening. But I tell you what, the glory of the Lord is coming back to the house of the Lord, where a fear can come on people. And I'm not talking about a fear of reverence towards the things of God and what he can do. And it says that he took a coal from off the altar and he put it on the lips of Isaiah and cleansed him. And then this is the verse I want to get to. And it says this, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Now you see us there means the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isaiah heard a voice, it was the voice of God, saying, whom shall I send? And he was talking about sending someone to preach to people. Who will go for me? Who will go? Who will go and tell of what I can do? Who will go and speak the mysteries of God? Who will go and tell people that God loves them and cares about them? Who will go and tell them about the cross of Calvary and what Jesus did? It's just not a figment of our imagination. We know what Jesus has done. And he did it because he loved us. He didn't have to. Can you imagine? Where would we be? Where would we be as people without Jesus? Where would we be? Lost as Moody's goose. Probably most of us wouldn't even be here as far as on earth anymore. But God in his infinite mercy and grace sent his son. And he said this. And he said, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Really, he was asking Isaiah. And Isaiah said this, then said I, here am I, send me. God was like fishing. And he's saying, who's going to go? Who's going to catch that hook? And he knew, he said, Isaiah, I need you. Will you go? And Isaiah, the promise, it was a conditional promise. If you go, I will do this. If you take up what I want, I will do this. You see, the church needs to take up the things of the church. I said, what do you mean? The church needs to take up the things of the church, preaching the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And that there's no one else. There's no other door but one door for heaven. There's only one, and that's receiving Jesus Christ, receiving him as Lord and Savior. He is the only one that can do a mighty work. He is the only one. As we receive him, the Spirit of God will come and help us to accomplish the things that God wants us to do. And Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Look at the next verse. Verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. He said, after Isaiah took up the cause. Just as God is throwing out the cause to each and every one of us, people. You might say, well, you know, I don't think God wants me to be a pastor or whatever. God still wants you to speak. You have a lot to say about your Lord. Don't be ashamed. I know sometimes it's like you kind of just stand firm. And when God opens that door by the Spirit, just walk in. He sent Isaiah to the people. And if you read the scriptures more than that, and for time's sake I'm not, they didn't even receive it. They rejected the word. You might say, well, if God sent them, for sure they're going to receive it. No, no, no. And you see, and that's where we get off base sometimes. We think, well, if God sent me, it has to work. No, no, no. If God sent me, this is going to happen. No, no, no. All we know is this. When God sends, or when God says, or when God says to do something, you do it, and the results are up to Him. And what happens if they receive? Because you see, you might say, well, why did God send him to the people knowing that they would reject him? Because of his love for the people. He will send people over and over and over again to an individual because he loves them. And he does not want the destruction. He knows what will happen when they close their eyes for the last time. He knows if they don't have Jesus, where they will go, in a place that was made for destruction and evil and flesh falling off of their bones. And there's agony and pain continually because they've rejected Christ as Savior and Lord. You see, we got to have that view and saying, Lord, whatever it takes, I will do it as you call me to do it, Lord, that I will speak it forth. I will share. I will give your word as much as you allow it to go forth and as much as you allow it to open up unto me. That we do what the word says, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. A promise. He didn't say they'd all come, but some will come. Don't give up on people you have talked to about the Lord, because we don't know what the Spirit of God is doing unless He shows us. But we do what He says, preaching the gospel. The promises of God are what? Yes and amen. Now I want you, one more scripture. I want to leave you with this. In John chapter 14, you take this word and you take that word of the promises of God and you remind God of His word. Verse 27, page 1881. You take the word and the promises that He gives you, and you quote it back to Him, and you say, Lord, your word is sure and true. I believe your word. I stand upon it. Look, what moves God? What? Faith. Faith moves God. You want to know why that little woman with the issue of blood, that she spent all her money and everything, she was the only one that touched Him in faith. That's why the power of Almighty God came out of Jesus Christ. Because He was being touched by all kind of people. And she was making her way through and should not have been because she was unclean. But she made her way and said, I've heard what He can do. I've seen what He can do. My miracle is coming to me. She touched the hem of His garment, the blue tassels there. Speaking of the glory of God. And when she touched Him, power went out of Him. Let me tell you this. You take scriptures and the promises of God. You claim those scriptures. And let me tell you, the power of Almighty God will come upon that situation and it will change. You might say, I need some things. Well, let me tell you, get on the ball and start getting it. Come on, you can do it. We're in a war, people. We're in a war against the enemy that's trying to destroy this earth, destroy you, your wife, or your husband, your children, your grandchildren, your church, your pastors, everyone. He wants to bring destruction. Everything. But God says, I've come to give life. And that's where we put our faith, in our God that is the issuer of life. That is the giver of life. That's who we put our trust and our faith in. Now listen to this. Look at this. This is one of the last promises given by Jesus to his disciples. I can't say the last promise, but one of the last promises of Jesus given to the disciples. He said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. Let's read verse 27 again. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me tell you this, people. Just as he left this for his disciples, Jesus, we are his disciples today. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, Pastor, a gallon of gas is high. I understand. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You think he can put gas in your car? He made the oil. He made what they need to make it. I mean, God can do anything, people. God can give you extra money for that gas. God can do whatever. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let the enemy trouble you. Don't just refuse it. Just refuse it. Take that scripture and say, God's peace is upon my life, my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, my family, Lord. And Lord, we will not fret about anything that's going on. You can supply the food. You can supply the gas. You can supply the money. Lord God, you are a faithful God unto us. It's a promise he made because he knew the disciples would go through some hard times when they saw that he was being killed upon the cross. His body, anyway. It says that he laid down his life. Don't let your heart be troubled. That's the promise of God. He said he would take care of us. What we do, we follow the Spirit of God. And we let him do what he needs to do, people. The promises that take that scripture and you quote, if you're fearful of what's going to happen tomorrow or next year or whatever it is, you take that scripture and you say, Lord, I may be afraid today, but I know I put my faith in the cross of Calvary and what your scripture says. See, that's how we do things, people. We don't live by the circumstances of the world. We live by faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. That's why we as Christians can say we have something to live for. Okay? We have something to live for. Our God has given us a reason to live because he has been faithful to us. He died for us. He gave his life for us. He resurrected for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father for us. That's the kind of God we serve. A victorious God. And he's coming back for a victorious church. Yes. Hallelujah. Not a church that has been destroyed, but a coming back for a body of believers that have given their hearts to him and that are ready to do his will. He's coming for a church that is victorious. It says in the last days that he would pour out his spirit. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God like we've never seen before. I said, Lord, I want repentance. I want, Lord, your will to be done, Lord. We need God to move upon the world. And I think he is moving. He's moving. People are praying more than ever before. because they see desperation. They see something's not right. They see what God can do. We keep our faith and our trust in Him. We will not be troubled. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The church is so afraid. I mean, I'm telling you, people are so afraid. I mean, they're just afraid with this, all this stuff going on. They're so scared. And I'm not talking about people out in the world. So the church, the body of Christ, is scared. And I'm not saying, hey, look, you're not feeling well, stay home. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, but just scared. And that shouldn't be. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The peace of God heals the troubled heart and takes away fear. Wow, let me read that again. It's in your commentary, in your Bible. It says, the peace of God heals the troubled heart. We need God to heal the troubled heart and takes away fear. That's God. That's one of His promises, people, of what He can do. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah to the King, people. There's so many promises, people, in His Word. So many. So many. So many. We just got to get a hold of it and believe it and stand firm in it. Let God be God. Get in your Word, people, like you've never done before. You might say, it's hard for me to read. I understand sometimes. Take one chapter at a time, a half a chapter, whatever, and say, Lord, teach me your Word. Teach me. And help, let Him do a mighty work in your heart and in my heart and in my life. Amen. Would you please stand for just a minute?